Now we continue through our study of the book of Revelation in the Revelation Bible Study, section 28 on page 31 of your outline, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. We're finishing up that section, the beast from the sea. We're on point K in Revelation chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Read as follows. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we have here the principle that divine justice will be accomplished according to the law of retaliation, the lex talionis, and we find that in the book of Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 through 25, which simply means that the punishment should be commensurate with the offense. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And we have a more specific application which connects us with the book of Revelation in Isaiah chapter 33, verses 1 through 6. Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. The noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourself up, the nation shall be scattered, and the plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as a running to and fro of locusts. He shall run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So we have the same concept here. The punishment being commensurate with the offense, which we have in Revelation chapter 13 in verse 10. And in Isaiah chapter 33, the context certainly fits with what we're dealing with in the book of Revelation. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Patience and faith are proven by endurance based upon trust in God's promises and confidence in God's perfectly just nature. Point 29 in your outline. Revelation chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, the beast from the earth. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon. So this beast has two horns like a lamb, and he speaks like a dragon. So the message of this second beast is the same message as the beast, who is the Antichrist, the counterfeit son of God, and the dragon, the counterfeit father. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So this second beast from the earth completes the counterfeit satanic trinity. The dragon is Satan. He is the counterfeit father. The first beast is Antichrist, he is the counterfeit son. And the second beast, who is often referred to as the false prophet in eschatological revelation teaching, is the counterfeit Holy Spirit. Just as God the Holy Spirit testifies to God the Son, the second beast testifies to the first beast, who is the counterfeit son. And we see the manner of his testifying in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So here we have some satanically inspired miracles which are going to be accomplished by the second beast. And again, remember that our timing here is the midpoint of the tribulation. So it is at this time that the full counterfeiting, if you will reach its consummation. And we'll have a counterfeit Pentecost, as it were. You see in verse 13, he performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the sight of the earth in the sight of men. And this is a counterfeit of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, where we read, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14 reads, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived." Here, the second beast, the counterfeit spirit, is directing the worship of all the earth towards the Antichrist, who had just had a counterfeit resurrection. And now it's at this point that Satan himself is actually indwelling the Antichrist. So we have the dragon indwelling the first beast, who had been killed and was brought back to life in the form of the counterfeit resurrection. This, of course, this making of image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived, is an affront to God. It is a blasphemous violation of the second of the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue. And in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, we have a record of the second commandment. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath." And this image is certainly from the earth beneath, amen. "Or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third in fourth generations of those who hate me." Revelation chapter 13 in verse 15 reads, "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." And here we have another satanic miracle. Of course, we had just read about the one of the great signs and the fire coming down in verse 13. And now the counterfeit spirit, the second beast, energized by the power of Satan, actually gives breath to the image of the beast. And this is pretty much going to spook everybody out, but it's certainly going to scare everybody. People will realize that this is a supernatural occurrence, and for fear that they'll simply obey and they'll bow down to this image which had been created of the first beast. And as a point of similarity, a similar thing was done by Nebuchadnezzar way back in the book of Daniel. So let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Daniel chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, where we read, "So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, 'To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And as we know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused in verse 14 of the third chapter of Daniel to do so. And they let down into the hot fiery furnace as punishment. But one like the Son of God is seen there walking among them. And they're not scorched by the flames at all. In fact, you can't even smell it on their person. God does such a miracle in redeeming these folks from this evil. Okay, so what we have in verse 15 is we have the persecution of the saints resulting from the failure, the refusal to worship this beast. This is what's going to happen here, beginning at the midpoint of the tribulation. This is 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period from which the church has been spared, as we've studied in previously in our study here. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18 is point 30 in your outline. It's entitled the number 666, and we'll pick up in verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. So this is a visible mark either on the right hand or the forehead, something that can be seen by all. And in verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. This mark is going to be a requirement as an economic necessity. So this will usher in an age of persecution of devout Jews, that is, Orthodox Jews who have not yet accepted the Messiah in this time. They're still going to refuse to take this mark, and they're going to be persecuted. And also Christians, whether these be Messianic Jews, that are Jews who become believers in their Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, or those Gentiles who will pick up that same faith in that day. So in verse 18 we read, here is wisdom, let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. So here is wisdom. So the wise who are alive in that day, remember that's in that day, not today, so we're not called to be speculating as to what exactly, you know, what exact form all of this stuff is going to take. But the wise are going to be able to identify in that day the Antichrist by that number, 666. We read the five ways in which the wise will be able to identify the Antichrist by the number 666. And they come right out of our text. We don't make things up here. We look into the Bible and we do exegesis, which means we pull things out of the Bible. And we don't do eisegesis and try to read things into it. And if we don't find it in the book of Revelation, we go to Isaiah or Daniel or some of the other prophets, like we did in this segment. And we find the truth, where we seek the truth. With wisdom, comparing Scripture with Scripture. So we're going to be identifying first by the mark. Second, the name of the beast. Third, the number of his name. Fourth, the number of the beast. And fifth, the number of man. So notice at the end of verse 18, we read, for it is the number of man. His number is 666, and this is the strongest evidence that we're going to be taking here. We don't have license to go too far beyond that, but in the next segment we're going to be doing a little bit of biblical numerology. not something I'm a huge fan of, but when the Bible puts a number in it, we ought to take a look at it and try to figure out what it means.